Welcome back to Rome, and welcome back to the Vatican, because that's where I'm heading for. It is actually literally 15 meters ahead of me. I'm leaving the Frisian Church, which is a church on the left side of the Vatican, very close. I think it's the church that is closest to the Vatican, and it is a church that is in use by the Dutch. And so I just celebrated Mass there with a couple of fellow priests, and now I am heading towards St. Peter's Square, where it is extremely busy. Today might be even busier than on the day of the election and presentation of Pope Francis, because not only have probably a million people come for the first Angelus prayer, which is about to begin, but also, and this was planned way before the Angelus prayer, we have the Marathon of Rome, which is held today, and it's already literally running. So we're now trying to get on St. Peter's Square. I'm here with my colleagues from Dutch media, and we need to get on the square, although they already closed it off, which is quite surprising because it's not that busy on the square. There is still a lot of space there. However, so we're literally standing here in front of the gate, and there's a lot of security and some protection, and of course they try to fence off everything as much as possible. Stampa. Dobbiamo. Cosa facciamo?
Sì, lo vogliamo andare dentro.
Dobbiamo andare dentro.
Ha detto di poter entrare.
Yeah.
Perché prima c'era la messa e adesso dobbiamo entrare. Ci hanno detto di entrare.
So they're still currently talking with the police officers, and they say they can't let us in because, of course, it's all kind of fenced off. But now we're standing in a corridor, in a security corridor, which is used by the ambulances and by, you know, for security reasons. And then behind us, there are hundreds of thousands of people standing in the Via della Conciliazione, the big avenue. And this police officer is currently making a phone call, see if he can let us in, but not very hopeful. Last time I was standing here, I was chased away very quickly because, well, again, they need to leave this open for potential, you know, if there's someone faints or gets a heart attack, then of course the ambulances need to get here. So it's very understandable, but it's a little bit of a pity that we can't get any closer. So I'm just following our Dutch producer, who is very familiar with the situation and is always I don't know, just has that extra aptitude to negotiate with the security guards, and knows the situation well, speaks Italian very well. So we'll have to wait and see. So it is a slightly overcast day. It's not as warm as yesterday, which is probably very good for the runners that are doing the Marathon of Rome. Normally, the runners would actually, part of the trajectory would be to head from the Casa San Angelo all the way to St. Peter's Square and then turn to the left. But because of the new Pope, they have modified the itinerary. And so, unfortunately for the runners, they won't be able to see the Vatican. So here is my good friend, Father Michel. He's also arrived to celebrate Mass elsewhere, probably. And it's good to see him, because he's no longer in the Netherlands. He now works on a European level for the European bishops in Switzerland. And so it was great to meet him here again and to catch up. Father Michel and I were good friends, and with two other priests, every year we go on vacation somewhere in Europe, and it's great fun.
Rorik, it's strange that they closed it already, because normally this square is completely full. So
yes.
Now everybody's getting nervous because maybe the Pope is passing here.
Oh, you think so?
No.
Oh, it could be. It's actually surprisingly empty, which is visually not going to be very, very good, but we'll just wait and see. As usual, you know, in these days, you just got to be flexible and take what you can get. And if we get chased away and I'm standing behind a wall and I can't see anything. At least we can hear the sounds. That's the advantage of doing these audio recordings. It is right now about 11:45. And of course, the Angelus prayer traditionally is done at noon. The Pope will appear on his on the balcony of his own private quarters, which is a first because these private quarters, of course, the last time there was a Pope in there was when Pope Benedict XVI left, and we all witnessed that. Of course, I was standing on St. Peter's Square to witness that, and the windows, for the first time, have been opened again, which is very, very cool. The Pope has received his the keys of the apartment, and so this is going to be the first address. Now, Pope Benedict has made, or Pope Francis, I still have to get used, of course, to that. Even if I type, I always type Pope Benedict, and then I have to erase it and type Francis instead of Benedict. I guess that will take me a couple of weeks before I get totally used to that. But Pope Francis has made a huge impression on the Italians, both by his very personable approach, his friendliness, his extra attention for the people of Rome, for the city of Rome. So after all, he's not just the Pope of the world, but he's also the Bishop of Rome. And also not just by the name Francis that he has chosen. St. Francis is the most popular saint here in Italy. But also by the way he shows that he is a disciple of St. Francis. And that is, I mean, the combination is just very striking. He is both a Jesuit, and in his first homilies, in his first talks, you can really tell that he has that Ignatian spirituality, that, you know, very clear thinking, very well structured in his homilies. But at the same time, he's got that simplicity, that humility, that friendliness that we associate with St. Francis of Assisi, which was, for me, very well illustrated yesterday when we had the first public audience of Pope Francis with the press. And there are currently about 6,000 or more accredited journalists that have come to Rome to cover the events of the conclave and the presentation of Pope Francis, and also his inauguration on Tuesday. And so one of the first public appearances of the Pope, well, semi-public, was this meeting with the press at the Paul VI Hall on the left of the Vatican. Pope Francis, there you go again, that's number two, strike two. Pope Francis entered the hall and immediately called the journalist, you know, dear friends, which is, again, very personable. He read a short text that he had prepared, a good text about the how the media are invited, because it's all, you know, he's not, you should do this. He's like, well, try to do this. He was like, the church is much bigger than, it's much more than, oh, wait a minute, the window's opened. Look at that. Yeah, they're opening the window. They're, everybody gets excited. And so they're getting ready to, they're installing currently the lecture, the microphone, the little transparent. Little table that is used by the Pope to put his papers on.
Without the stemma.
Without the coat of arms yet, because it's not yet there. It's not prepared.
It's not yet there, so.
They're still working on it.
Benedict, they also already taught.
Yeah, it's taken away. So it's now just a white. It's just a white piece of sheet. Sheet of cloth. Can't speak. I'm a little bit tired after all these days. And so he told the journalists to look beyond just the political dimension of the church and to realize that this is the people of God, and it's not just about bishops, it's not about priests, it's not about the Pope, it's about Christ. He is the center. Yeah. So this this security guard just told the security personnel here that they're going to try to let us in on St. Peter's Square on the left side.
Okay.
Because they want to completely free up this zone. There are too many people now standing in the security zone. So that's good news. We'll probably be able to enter St. Peter's Square before the address of the Pope. Now, it's very hard to estimate how many people have come here. Yeah, tuurlijk. So, it's difficult to estimate how many people have come here, but this morning I was heading for church and already hundreds of thousands of people were walking in the street, and I had a very tough time getting to the church because, of course, since it's close to the Vatican, everything was already fenced off. And that's where, fortunately, my clerical attire comes in handy, because it it enables me to get permission to jump over fences and just go where other people normally can't go. And, you know, that's kind of what I like about Italians. They're very accommodating when it comes to this kind of... Oh, geez, we're really in the wrong place here, because they've now formed a human... block here of all these security guards in yellow coats, and they're keeping the crowd from advancing any further. Now, I don't think we're going to be able to move on to St. Peter's Square, because there's just no movement there. It's completely filled up with people. And so I hope that they can keep them in check. We probably are unable to get out of here either. So anyway, I've got a good view of the square, so we'll just stay here until they chase us, which has always been my tactic. So once he had finished talking, you know, giving his formal address about, you know, the again, journalists and the media having to portray the beauty, the truth, the unity, etc., he went... Oh, wow. The square is opened now, and people are streaming onto St. Peter's Square. Of course, we're not in the situation where we can do that. I want to go on the square, if possible. Can we? Okay, let's try. It's very crowded. Ja, maar ik moet wel door.
Piano. Piano, piano.
Zielig.
Okay. Ja, ik moet er nu echt ook in hoor, want excuse me. Okay. Let's see if we can get in. They say piano, which means slowly, slowly.
Piano.
Pian piano. Slowly, slowly. Well, this is great, because now we'll be able to get in and get closer. Very good. We're here on St. Peter's Square. So, thousands of people are now moving forward and try to get as close as possible to the balcony. I think I'm going to lose my my media friends here. And ahead of me, hundreds and hundreds of flags and banners and excited people all staring at that small window, trying to get as close as possible to the Pope. Lots of families, lots of children also on the square. And of course, the video screens are also showing us the crowd from the perspective of the cameras. Here's someone who says, oh, hi.
How are you?
Very good. Good to see you. Yeah, but I'm broadcasting in English. This is... a father who works at the Vatican at the Department for Immigrations, And I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, and he's also a photographer. So he's got this, I've never seen a lens as big as that one. That is a Canon
70-200.
70, you're going to be able to see the nose hairs of the Pope.
but it's quite something.
It's very powerful.
But we have a very strong Pope.
I think so, yes. What was your first reaction when you heard about Pope Francis?
Yeah, when the name. In 1,000 years, we didn't get a new name. And then somebody comes up with a name which says simple life, radical change for the church, peace. And of course, he's showing that by all kind of different signs. It's quite something. I think in 3 days' time he made already a revolution. This morning he went out of the church. He was greeting as an ordinary parish priest, all people coming out of church.
Really? He was just standing there?
It was here on the screen. And then he went into the streets. He went out of the Vatican and he just entered into the street. I think a nightmare for security.
I imagine, yes. But what an incredible change.
It was an incredible change in 3-4 days. So now that has to be translated into governance. Okay, we are waiting for that. That will be more difficult. But up to now, I didn't see any gold cross. He was always having or a metallic or silver. I don't know. His ring up to now was still a silver one.
It's still the one that he carried as an archbishop.
Yes. His mitre. They put out vestments and a beautiful mitre. He didn't take it. He took his own simple mitre. It's as personality, it is quite something.
Now, you work at the Vatican for the immigration, all that. And so you know also very well the situation in South America. What does it mean for the church to have a pope from South America?
I don't know, but it means a lot for migrants. Of course, we have here somebody, second generation who becomes pope. So there are possibilities also for migrants.
And there is. The migration problem is huge.
It is. Of course, Latin America is a Catholic continent, and there are, of course, it will. You can see already the banners here from Argentina, and it will. But the way he behaves, when you see here, there are more people, perhaps 150,000, 200,000, mm-hmm. who just come for an ordinary angelus. It's quite amazing. I didn't expect that myself this morning.
We haven't seen that for 8 years now.
No,
it is quite stunning.
It's quite stunning. Yes. And of course, by these simple gestures, there is a deep theology behind, under it.
Which is?
Of course, he's a choice for the poor. Yesterday he said, I would like that we become a poor church. Okay, that is quite something. And coming from Argentina, of course, and he knows the situation, and he lives it. Oh, yeah, that is something.
He shows it by his own example and the little gestures, the little things he says.
Now I think we are going to wait who in due time will become the new Secretary of State, who will become left and right. Of course, he has to get now the machine running.
And that is still any moment from now. So we're going to watch the window, and so are the thousands of people surrounding me, all waiting for the Pope to arrive.
Dingen waar hij gezegd heeft. Dus het kan niet.
Sorry, I'm still recording, so I'm not always available to talk in Dutch. I'm sorry, every time you hear me get silent, it is because I'm filming. Because I noticed that if I talk while filming, it's making it a lot harder to edit everything. So I'm just walking in the crowd here, trying to get a little bit closer still. People took their dogs with them. This is usually something that people love to go to on Sunday, just as a little outing. But of course now, everybody wants to see the Pope. There's already a lot of enthusiasm in various parts of the square because the cameras are zooming in on certain groups, and then of course they get all excited to see themselves on the video screen. Viva il Papa! That's something we're going to hear time and again here. And of course, lots of journalists, camera crews. And these are definitely the years of social media. Everybody is filming this, taking pictures with their cell phones and Twittering, posting them on Facebook. I'm just trying to get a good spot to film everything, trying not to get too much behind the flags because they're going to be waving in my video, but they might be blocking the view. I can see some scouts carrying a banner. And again, it's a pity that we can't see the entire crowd, but the video screens are showing us how full St. Peter's Square is, and there he is. So Pope Francis says, it is good to be here on Sunday to meet each other, to greet each other. And thanks to the media, this square, the St. Peter Square, now has the dimensions of the entire world. How true is that? And now Pope Benedict is talking about the gospel of today, which is part of what the Pope usually does on Sunday. It's a little reflection, meditation on the readings of the Sunday.
peccare più.
So it's the gospel of the adulterous woman.
Il volto di Dio è quello di un padre misericordioso che sempre ha pazienza. Avete pensato voi alla pazienza di Dio?
Have you ever thought of the patience of God for every one of us? He understands us. He doesn't give up on us. He never gets tired of forgiving us.
Grande è la misericordia del Signore, dice il Salmo. In questi giorni,
in these days, I've been able to read a book of a cardinal, Cardinal Casper, a very good theologian, about the mercy of the Lord. And don't think I'm just making, you know, an advertisement here for a book of one of my cardinals here. But Cardinal Casper said so well that so Cardinal Casper says that a little bit of mercy can change the world. And we need to understand that. This merciful Father who has so much patience. Think about the psalmist who says, you know, even if our sins are dark as scarlet, God will wash them and turn us white again, white as snow. And now he mentions the Madonna of Fatima. I went to confession. And after confession, I stood up, and an old lady came to talk to me. Very humble lady. And I said to her, Nonna. I told her, you know, you haven't sinned. And then she told me, we all sin. But, and then she told me, God forgives everything. And I asked her, how do you know? And she told me, if God wouldn't forgive us, this world wouldn't exist anymore. And then I told her, have you studied at the Gregorian University? Because I've never heard so much wisdom. Let's not forget this word. God will never get tired of forgiving us. Never. And often we get tired of asking for forgiveness, but he never gets tired of forgiving us. Let's never get tired of asking forgiveness. So the Pope is, again, speaking off the cuff, not reading his prepared text. And the way he talks is really like a pastor who's talking to his flock. Let's ask for the intercession of the Virgin Mary. She has carried God's mercy in her womb. And the Pope is looking through his papers, probably looking for the text in other languages. Now he said, we're going to pray the Angelus together.
Angelus Domini, Nunciave Maria, Concepite. Ave Maria, Gratia Plena, Dominus Tecum, Benedicta tu in Mulieribus, et Benedictus Fructus Ventris tui, Jesus. Ecce ancilla Domini, Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Ora pro nobis, Santa Dei Genitris.
Divina diciamo, professione vos Cristo.
Oremus. Gratiam tuam quesum, Domine, mentibus nostris infunde, ut qui angelo annunciante Christi Filii Tui incarnazione coniovimus, per passionem eius et crucem, a resurrectione gloriam perducamur, per eundem Christum Domine.
Amen.
Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancti. Fidelibus et fontis, requiem aeternam dona ei Domine,
et lux perpetua lucis,
requiescant in pace.
Amen.
Sit nomen Domini benedictum,
ex omnibus
praeser, adiutorum nocum in Domine Domini,
in
fecit celum et terra. Benedicat vos, omnipotens Deus, Pater, et Filius, et Spiritus Sanctus. Abbraccio ai fedeli di Roma e lo estendo a tutti voi che venite da varie parti dell'Italia e del mondo, come pure a quanti sono uniti a noi attraverso i mezzi di comunicazione. Ho scelto il nome del patrono d'Italia, San Francesco di Assisi, e ciò rafforza il mio legame spirituale con questa terra, dove, come sapete, sono le origini della mia famiglia.
The Pope says, you know, I feel so close to all of you here in Italy, and I've chosen the name of the patron saint of Italy. Also because my own family comes from originally from Italy. Pray for me, he says, and may the Virgin Mary help me. Let's not forget this. God never gets tired of forgiving us.
Amen.
we sometimes get tired of asking for forgiveness. Have a nice Sunday.
And
well, again, I think it looks like the Pope really struck a chord here with the Italians. And that was it. No talks in other languages, English or Spanish. And
hi, I'm Robert Mason. I work for CBS News.
I know you guys. I know your cameraman. We've seen each other all the time.
Thank you.
Good to meet you.
A brief one, please, sir.
Yes, no problem. Okay, Father Roderick.
Okay, Father Roderick. Thank you.
Very good.
Rolling. Okay, I know we have the name, but I'll just do it.
Father Roderick.
Von Hogen?
Yes, Von Hogen. Von Hogen.
Von Hogen. Vonhogen.
Absolutely.
From the Netherlands?
From the Netherlands, yes.
Okay, you've lived in the States?
No, actually not. I'm from the Netherlands, but world is international.
With no accent for the English. So, there were a few jokes in his first Angelus.
Yes, and I think it becomes a trademark of this Pope to always have these funny remarks. He goes off script all the time and shows that he wants to be very close to the people. And having a sense of humor, I think, is great for communications, because we always like to laugh.
There was so much love among Catholics for Pope Benedict, and now a new Pope comes unexpectedly. How's it going?
Well, I think it's going extremely well. I think this Pope, right from the get-go, the moment he arrived on the balcony and said these simple words, I think captured the heart of all the Italians here. They love him already. Spoke to a bus driver, to a cab driver. They're all like, this is our Pope. You know, he's our bishop. And I think that his gentleness, his friendliness is infectious. And even through media, even people that are not here, I think they feel it. They see this Pope and they see someone who is humble and simple and talks straight to the heart.
Thank you very much, Father Roderick.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
And all the best for your report again. Good luck with everything.
Hey!
These are Dutch people greeting us.
No, I am Italian.
Auguri con il vostro Papa. Allora, com'è il Papa per voi?
Per me è importantissimo, perché San Francesco è qualcosa di speciale. Quindi ho preso il nome Francesco, spero che lo onori.
So she says, for me it's so important that he chose the name of Francis, and I hope that he really will do honor to that name.
Yes.
Grazie tanto.
Ciao.
So again, dank u wel hoor. Hey, fijne dagen nog hier in Rome. So, a good example of how the Italians react to this Pope. Excited, honored that he took the name of St. Francis. And again, the Pope added to his explanations of yesterday, where the Pope said to the journalist, you know, here's how I chose this name. I was sitting inside the Sistine Chapel during the counting of the votes, and when things started to get dangerous, the Brazilian Cardinal Hummes was sitting next to me, and he comforted me all the time. And when it became clear that I had 2/3 of the votes, he embraced me, he kissed me, and he said, never forget the poor. And that's when the name St. Francis entered my mind. And then I thought of the wars in the world. I thought, you know, St. Francis is a man of peace. And that's why I chose that name. And the cardinals made jokes, you know, you should pick the name of Pope Adrian, because he was a reformer. Or you should pick Clement the 15th, because it would be a revenge on Clement the 14th, who suppressed the order of the Jesuits. But those were just jokes. And he told us that very simply, off the cuff, as if he was with friends. And I really think that he feels that he is with friends. He has a very inclusive manner. Another thing that struck me very much during the Angelus, or not during the Angelus, but during the meeting with the press, was that at the end he was speaking to them in Spanish, and he said, you know, I want to give you my blessing, but I know that many of you are not believers, so you don't share the Christian faith, but I'm going to give you the blessing in my heart. And I think it was a sign for him of respect, of, you know, I don't want to be the big, you know, I'm Catholic, and so you all are supposed to fall under my blessing. But it was just very, again, very gentle, very respectful. And some people have criticized that the Pope should, you know, give the formal blessing. But again, it's a man I think who works with a lot of intuition. He's like, I want to show how much I respect these people, and I think the people that criticize that, they don't see the big picture. They don't see his overall attitude of humbleness, of gentleness, and how close he wants to be with the people that surround him, especially with the people that are not yet believers. Because I think that's kind of how we approach that as Catholics, where, you know, yeah, you might not know God, you might not believe, but, you know, who says that is going to stay like that? And so evangelization is very important for him. And I think that it's something that will be very important for him as the Bishop of Rome. One of the things he said on the balcony was, I want to, you know, bring this city back to God. I want to evangelize this city. That's where we got to start. And I love that. So here, again, he showed during the Angelus that he is a true shepherd, a true pastor. I mean, these are very simple thoughts, but so deep, so important. It's all about forgiveness and about God, who will never stop forgiving. And it's always our problem if we don't forgive, you know, or if we don't ask for forgiveness. We get tired. God gets never tired. And he repeats it several times, which I like, because it shows, again, that he is he's just emphasizing the point. He doesn't really care if it's, you know, beautiful, well-constructed phrases or anything. He wants to, for this point to get across. And that's, I think, why he summarized it at the end of the Angelus. I mean, he had already said that, so he could have just referred to the website of the Vatican for people to read that. But he didn't. And I think it is because he is very well aware of how the media handle these things. Media always wants little quotes, sound bites, very short sentences. And so by repeating this at the end of the Angelus, I think he did that on purpose, so that if they do a report on this and they only got like 2 seconds for a quote, that's the quote they're going to pick to summarize what he said. So very, very good communicator already. And whether it is on purpose or whether it is by instinct, what is important is that he does it, and it works, and it truly touches the hearts of the people here on St. Peter's Square. And that is a good sign, I think, for this papacy and for this pontificate. The bells of the St. Peter's are being tolled. Just the small ones, not the big one that was used during the confirmation of the white smoke. But still, it's nice. It just adds that festive Sunday atmosphere, which I really appreciate. So now I'm going to do a few stand-ups, summarize what we've seen, and then I'll go to the press office to put my video together, and hopefully I'll be able to upload that very quickly. And in the meantime, I just want to thank you for coming along and be here during this quite momentous day, where we heard the style of this Pope in his second public appearance, and it's very clear that he is not afraid to continue what he has been doing for the past 3 days, and that is to just go off script, be himself, be close to the people. And of course, things might change a little bit. I mean, he has to take into account security risks and everything, but I think at the same time he shows that he's not afraid to make changes, and that is what the cardinals, even before they entered the conclave, were hoping for. We need someone to turn this situation around, to win back the people, and I think that Pope Francis is well on his way. Thanks for listening. I'm Father Roderick from St. Peter's Square here in the Vatican, and I will be back soon. Go over to sqpn.com and to catholicinsider.com for more programs. And if you appreciate what I'm trying to do here, if you think that it's important to reach out to the world using modern media, using new media, podcasting, please prayerfully consider helping us out financially as well. We're currently doing our Lenten giving campaign. We are trying to raise $55,000. It's not going very well right now. I guess it's because there's so much attention given to the Vatican, and people are so busy with everything that's going on here. But still, we hope to continue to support what Pope Francis tries to do, and that is to win back people for Christ. And we need your help to make that happen. And so if you want to help out, go over to sqpn.com/donate for all the information. You can help us with a one-time gift, or even better, become a monthly sponsor. And you can easily do that nowadays with PayPal or with, you know, these micropayments. And if everybody helps a little bit, then we can do great things together. Thanks so much for your support. Thank you for your prayers. And most of all, thank you for always joining me here when these important things for the church are happening. God bless you, and see you soon.